One, there we go. Thank you, Nick. Good morning, everybody. I'm Coach Jake, and we call all the pastors here coaches because we believe Ephesians 4, that God's called us to be a team, be a body, and that our main role on the staff is to equip you guys in the gifts that Christ has given you. And love having the kids with us here today, and they bring a lot of good insight, you know? And I've been thinking about kids this week. And this first image I want to show you, we're in the Gospel of John, but before we get there, I want to show you this picture with these two little feet on these wooden steps. And I was thinking about when I was a kid, something I was afraid of. I want you to think back to what's a fear that you had to face maybe over and over when you were a kid. For me, when I think about that, I'm reminded of these wooden steps in my parents' basement, because my parents would send me down to this unfinished basement and they'd want me to go get a can of green beans or whatever. And I'd go down there, and when I was facing that dark basement and about to turn on the light, that was okay. But there was something about, like, turning off the light and then going up those wooden steps with all that darkness behind me. It, like, freaked me out as a little kid. And I can remember I would do it, but I would run up those steps. Like, as soon as I hit the light, then I would, like, run the rest of the way, like, slam the door, right? And eventually I got to the spot, obviously, where I wasn't doing that. But as kids, we have to face a lot of fears typically, right? And as adults, it's easy to think that we don't have a lot of fear. But what I would say is more true about the difference between adults and kids is that adults typically have a pretty easy time avoiding their fears, right? So they choose to only be in places where they don't have to face the things they're afraid of, right? As a kid, I would have loved to say, like, let's not have green beans for dinner. You know, like, that would have been good on a lot of levels, right? Let's just not go down to the basement. But as a kid, I just had to. And as adults, a lot of the times we don't think of ourselves as fearful people. And yet we're not growing or developing. We're running into the same problems we keep running into. And what if it's because there's these fears that we're avoiding? Right? Well, today we're going to get to a passage in John, but I want to first talk to you about a passage in 2 Timothy. Just one verse, but if we can go to it. It talks to us about fear, but about the Holy Spirit. As Christians, we believe that when we say yes to Jesus, we say, Jesus, I need your help. I need you to save me. I can't do it on my own. And Jesus, I want to obey you. I want to follow you. When we say that, we believe the Holy Spirit comes into us. Christianity is not about a distant relationship, or it's not about a distant worship. It's about God coming and living inside of us and changing us. And so Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit, is the title he gives, his Spirit. Here it's described as the Spirit of God. But it's described here, it says, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid. Some translations here, does not make us fearful. Because a lot of us, left to ourselves, we struggle with pride. And if you unmask that pride and you go a touch deeper, a lot of times what's underneath there actually is fear. We're typically too ashamed to admit that even to ourselves. We'd much rather be prideful than fearful. But a lot of times that pride is just a mask on top of something we're afraid of. This says God's Spirit doesn't make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Joel, who I've just gotten to meet through men's group on Wednesday night, we're becoming friends. Amazing thing about being here on Wednesdays, you get to know people, you get to get close to people. Well, Joel was downstairs, and he was talking to the whole group about, I make promises to people because I care about people and I want to help, but if I'm being honest, I have a hard time following through on what I say. And a lot of us could probably say the same thing, right? Maybe we don't even make promises anymore because we're afraid of failing, right? one of those two. But here's what Joel also said. He followed it up by saying, but God's different. When God makes us a promise, it's something we can actually stand on. Why can we stand on it? This verse describes something about the Spirit of God that's not true about us on our own. Some of us don't live out our promises because we don't have enough love. I think that's probably true, right? We don't care enough sacrificially. But we also break promises. Sometimes we do really care, but we don't have enough self-control. We just don't do the thing we want to do, right? And so we said we're going to be there for our child, but we went back out to something we shouldn't have that kept us away from them, right? Or we said we were always going to do this with our money, or we're going to do this for our boss, or whatever. But when push came to shove, we just didn't have the self-control to do what we said we were going to do. Or, as humans, we don't have the power a lot of times. We tell our spouse some sort of promise, but the truth is, like, we couldn't control what the economy was going to do or what something else was going to do. We didn't have the power to make good on this promise that we made, right? But when we come to the Holy Spirit, we come to someone who has the power and the love and the self-discipline to make good on any promise. And here's the thing about the Bible. We can read a lot of verses in the Bible, like this one, and it's saying a whole lot, but sometimes it's hard to really picture. Well, what does that actually mean? And the amazing thing about Jesus is the full embodiment of God's goodness. And so we can look at the life of Jesus, and we can see in living color, what does this stuff mean? And in John chapter 11, we've been spending some weeks there, we're going to see Jesus is the fullness of this, right? The Holy Spirit is trying to put power and love and self-control into us, but Jesus in John 11 is this great example of power, of love, of self-discipline. So here's the good news. The good news today is, like, we're not okay on our own, but Jesus is here. Jesus is working with power and love and self-discipline to change us. You don't have to fix yourself. 2 Timothy 1:7 says God wants to give us of his Spirit, right? So if you got a Bible, flip to John chapter 11. We're going to put the screen up. John 11, we're going to be in verse 38. If you don't have a Bible, buddy up next to somebody who does. If you have to, pull out your phone, but we're all pretty distracted, and so the phones don't help us most of the time, right? But there's also Bibles in the pew right in front of you, or there's friendly people around, right? So John chapter 11, verse 38. If you don't know how to get there, there's a table of contents right in the beginning of your Bible to give you a page number. Then you're looking for the big 11, and the little itty-bitty 38 is where we're starting. So I've reversed our order here, self-discipline, love, and power, but we're going to read these verses, and then we're gonna try to pay attention. How does Jesus have these things? And here's where we're driving at today. Is some of us get started with Jesus, but we don't actually want to get to where Jesus wants to take us. And so somewhere along the line, we think, like, I'm good enough on my own. I'm going to go my own way. But in John 11, we're going to see a pattern that I think Jesus does in our lives too. Okay? So let's pray as we're digging into this. Jesus, you are so good. And every single person in this room, including myself, we need you. And so, Jesus, I pray you would come. I pray you'd save us. And I also pray you'd push us to our next step with you. Help us to have hope in you. Help us to have courage in you. Help us to love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So John chapter 11, verse 38. Last week, well, I guess to back up a little bit, even more context. Jesus' friend Lazarus is sick, but Jesus tells his closest disciples, we're going to go to a dangerous place, a place you guys don't want to go, but I'm going to go there slow enough that this buddy of mine is going to die. I'm not going to go and just save him quickly or heal him quickly. And then when he shows up, Jesus has these sisters of Lazarus who have a lot of faith in Jesus. They care about Jesus. But they're also probably disappointed in Jesus. They both have these lines about, like, if only, Jesus, you had been here sooner, you could have made this all better. So all that happens. And last week, just like the kids were talking about, we focused in on this idea of Jesus cared enough to actually get upset, to care that people were suffering. Jesus doesn't just have us go through suffering. He enters into the suffering with us. He's emotional with us. If you're going through pain today, Jesus wants to be right beside you in the pain with you. So we talked about all that. Well, let's get into verse 38 then, okay? Chapter 11, verse 38. Jesus, once more deeply moved. So picture it on Jesus' face. There's probably tears coming down Jesus' face, right? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. This is Lazarus' tomb. This is where they buried him. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, Jesus said. But Lord, said Martha, how many of us have been told something simple by Jesus? And we're like, but Lord, which is a really ironic statement, right? I mean, Lord means I'm going to obey you, right? But Lord is a pretty weird statement. But a lot of us, stuff like that will come out of our mouth. Like, I heard what you said, but it's not a good idea, you know? But Lord, said Martha, this is the same Martha who said super awesome words that would sound great in a church just moments before, right? About faith and trust. But here she says, but Lord, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he's been there for 4 days. And this sounds like a pretty good excuse, right? It's this classic human, right? God tells us to do something, and we're like, that would be great, except for I got a really good reason why I shouldn't do the thing that you want me to do. It's going to be uncomfortable. Socially, it's going to be awkward, right? A lot of our excuses boil down to that, right? It doesn't seem wise. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you, somebody maybe in the room needs to hear this, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? If you believe, you will see the glory of God. Downstairs in the downstairs Sunday school class, I had a lot of discussion about belief. Is it just with your brain? Does it actually change the way you act? Belief in the Gospel of John, when he uses that word, he means that you trust in Jesus enough that it changes your whole life, that you live off of that trust. And here you see it. Martha won't, she says the right words, but she's not willing to do the right action. And so Jesus challenges her. Like, that doesn't seem like full belief. If you're not going to do what I say, you're not really trusting. You're not really living off of me. So he's talking, when John says belief, it's that whole bundle, that trust that is changes the way you act. That's what John's talking about, right? So he's right here, it's specifically like, will you take away the stone when you have no clue why I'm saying it and it seems like it's a bad idea? Will you still do the right thing? Will you do the thing that Jesus has said? Now, here's the awesome thing. Here's how we know that Martha and these other people did have some real belief, right? They might have had a moment of excuses, but when push came to shove, they do what Jesus said. Verse 41, so they took away the stone. They obey and they leave room for God to do the rest, right? They don't go in there and try to fix things. They do what Jesus told them to do. They took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up. So Jesus looks up at the sky and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. Jesus purposely says an out loud prayer. And the purpose of it is to help everybody there not just think of Jesus as a magician, but to think of Jesus as he really is. He's the Son of God. He's offering us a connection with God, right? He's the Savior people have been hoping for. And he wants to make it really clear that this miracle that's about to happen, that's the purpose of it, right? He says the purpose right there, right? That they may believe that you sent me. We're going to come back to that idea here in just a moment. Let's just dive into it right now. In this scene, all of John 11, Jesus' primary purpose isn't to get one guy's heart started again. Jesus' primary purpose isn't that nobody cries. Jesus' primary purpose is that we believe in him coming from the Father. He'll explain it a little bit clearer maybe in John 17 where he says, like, this is eternal life, that people could have the connection with me and you that, talking to God the Father, that God the Father and Jesus have. See, Jesus' primary purpose isn't just about your life being a little more comfortable or about your big problem that's going to hit you tomorrow getting solved. It's not even just about you and God working out. Jesus' purpose on earth is that we could believe and have life in Jesus. And so Jesus is working on a group of people in John 11. And I believe here at Maywood Baptist Church, Jesus is attempting to work on a group of people. Now, there's some people that see this miracle happen, and they wind up trying to rat Jesus out. Like, they don't believe in him. They wind up enemies, right? But I think Jesus' mission is trying to get the whole group to believe in him. That's what he's trying to do. And here at Maywood today, we need to have that focus of, like, our Lord and Savior is about bringing a group of us into belief in him. We don't leave people behind, right? We care about each other. Because Jesus is working in us as a group. All these you statements, they're about us as a team together, right? So, Jesus' purpose is that we can believe that God sent him. Verse 43, when Jesus had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice. Now, Jesus is so powerful. He uses three words here. There's not some big ceremony. There's not some big giant thing. Jesus has so much power that he can go up to somebody who's been dead for 4 days and say, Lazarus, come out. There's no super fancy church words. It's just very simple. Jesus speaks like somebody with authority, right? He doesn't say, like, God, if it's your will, please help us to do. Like, he doesn't have this real meek and tender thing, right? And maybe out of humbleness, maybe we speak that way or something, but Jesus speaks with authority, right? He speaks with this confidence. And here's the power, right? Anybody can say those three words. Nobody has this sort of power but God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the people who let them flow through him, right? The dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. It's pretty amazing stuff, right? We got some amazing baptisms coming up, so I'm going to leave out some of the sermon, but I want to hit these three things real quick, okay? It would have been easy for one of us, if God gave us this mission, to have sped it up. Jesus shows so much self-discipline in John 11. Think about what we've been in the last few weeks. How many times would we have felt pressure to do it quicker? You see a grieving pair of sisters who are like, Jesus, if only. Most of us would immediately crumble to that, right? If you could solve a problem and you got these women in tears that you care about, most of us would be like, well, okay, I'll solve it quick, right? What about when the stone is rolled away and there's this horrible smell coming out of the tomb and everybody's staring at you? Jesus could have just resurrected him really quick, right? But instead he pauses and he says a prayer out loud to make sure. Because once the dead guy comes out, good luck like talking to that group, right? People are going to be very noisy at that point, right? So he front loads it with self-control. He knows what he's going to do, but he's not in a rush. Some of us are upset with God because he's not in a rush. Mary and Martha were in tears. They felt like their whole world was shattered, and Jesus was not in a rush. Because Jesus' goal wasn't only to comfort them. They already believed at some level, but Jesus wanted to take them to a new level of belief. Some of us are in here today, and like we just want to be a little bit more comfortable. We think we're already good enough. Jesus is going to push in your life for you to keep growing. The love, right? In our household, we've got Samuel Sequoia, Chrissy, and I. We also have a cat, right? I love Samuel Sequoia at a much deeper level than my cat, right? For my cat, like, I don't really try to get my cat to obey me in anything, right? If it's trying to eat their food or something, you know, if they're sitting too close to the ground, I just forcibly stop the cat from doing what it shouldn't do. And mostly it's just about, like, I feed it, and it's honestly, it's pretty fat, and it sleeps a lot. And it's fine. Because I have no long-term goals for the cat, right? It's just doing its thing. It's not like Samuel and Sequoia, who, like, they have to hear a lot from me about how they're supposed to act. And there's a lot of talking and a lot of interaction and a lot of time together. Because I want them to grow up and be a man of God and a woman of God, right? And so if they do something, even just if they make some, they lie about something or they're aggressive about something or whatever, like, it's a bigger deal because I love them more. And that's a cute story, but a lot of us, we wish that Jesus loved us less. We want him less involved in the details of our life. We just want to be like my cat. We just want to be comfortable and not have a lot of responsibility. But Jesus is never going to love you that way. It's not ever going to be just like an indulgent, nice thing. He loves you too much for that. He will be in pain for you, right? He will suffer. He died for you. And he's not going to settle at the level I would settle with my cat, right? He's going to keep pushing us to where he can have a closer and closer relationship with us. Because he loves us that much. The power piece is important, and then we're going to break for these baptisms, right? The power piece Jesus will bring the power when he's ready to bring the power into your life, right? And there was a period in this story where if Jesus had brought the power too quickly, it wouldn't have had the maximum benefit. Because he would have only brought it at a certain level, right? He waits till the right moment, and then he brings way more power than anybody was expecting, right? Nobody can control Jesus. If you're going through life, and you're not facing any of your fears, and God's not surprising you in any way, and you're still struggling in some of the same things you were struggling with 10 years ago, do you believe in Jesus the way John talks about belief? Are you living off of trust in Jesus? Because the people that are around Jesus in the Gospel of John, if they stick around very long, they change. They either change or they don't stick around. That's the pattern. So today we get to talk about some people that are changing, right? We get to celebrate something. So Eddie is coming up. And Eddie, if you want to come on up. So here at Maywood, we believe the Great Commission. Our purpose as Christians is to together help other people find new life in Jesus. And a piece of that, kind of like the wedding ceremony, is baptism, right? Baptism is this ceremony where we say this person believes that they're dead to their old life and that God, through his Son, is raising them to a new life. That's what we believe. Here's the responsibility that we have according to the Great Commission. It's not just to baptize people. It's to keep with them as they grow in obedience. So we've got some folks that are going to do the baptizing today. Those are people that have already helped a lot, right? They've already helped these people find their way. And they're taking on this mantle of responsibility. They're going to keep helping. And we as a church need to keep helping these folks grow with Jesus. We had baptisms last month. We had a lot of them. Not everybody's doing great that we baptized last month. I don't have to get into all the details of it, but that's the truth of it. And we're trying really hard, right? And we want to keep trying with everybody that's been baptized, but we can't take this stuff for granted. There's a lot of churches that don't have baptisms every month. And God can choose to do that wherever he wants to. So let's be faithful with what he's given us.
I am really glad that we are having a celebration because I'll be real honest with you. My heart is kind of heavy this morning. A couple of weeks ago, my wife and I went down to Tulsa, Oklahoma to visit my cousin Pam, who was not doing well. The Lord called Pam home this past week. And so right after church today, Cher and I are leaving. We're getting on the road. And we're heading down to Oklahoma to bury Pam. tomorrow afternoon. But I know for a fact that right now, my cousin Pam Hood is in a state of absolute bliss because she was a friend of Jesus Christ. And I mean, she was a buddy. She played piano. She played organ in the Assembly of Church, in the Assembly of God Church. And man, I tell you what, the girl was gifted. And I know right now that she is sitting at Jesus' feet. So, you know, I take comfort in that. And I love the way that, you know, how sermons tie in with Sunday school, and then sermons tie into what you're thinking about. Because you talk about, you know, Jesus said, I'm getting ready to show you a miracle so that you will believe that I am the Son of God. Okay? Bible talks about that the world will know that we are God's children by the miracle of a changed life. Okay? I got four guys backstage right now that are already getting into that idea of a changed life. If you are their friends, if you are their families, what you saw a few months, a few years ago, you're going to see noticeable changes in these guys' lives. And that is going to be the proof to you as a church, to you as a family member, that Jesus is real, that he is God, and that lives can be changed through the power of Jesus Christ, through the power of God. So right now, we invite you to join in a celebration as these four men say that their old life is dead and buried, and they are rising up to walk in a new way, a Jesus way of life. You ready for a celebration? Chucky Christian, Amy Hall, get on down in that pool. And I think as soon as Chucky got here, he went in right into one of my classes, man. I've seen this dude grow. This dude is so cool. Jessica Bradley, where are you at? Jessica, pray for this young man.
Heavenly Father, in your love, you have called us to know you, lead us to trust you, and found our life with yours. Father, surround Chucky. Sorry, I had to write this. Father, surround Chucky with your love. Protect him from evil. Fill him with the Holy Spirit and receive him into your family of your church, that he may walk with us in the way of Christ and grow in the knowledge of his love. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's pretty cool to have your best friend in the whole world baptized, ain't it? That's awesome. Kyle Pickett, Darren Jackson, get out here. I think met Kyle, 2-3 weeks ago? Cool, dude. Good story. Let's see. Sean Osborne, where you at? Come on, Sean.
Lord, we just lift Kyle up to you. Lord, come to his heart and just light him on fire for you. In your name we pray, amen. Amen.
We're going to get double duty out of Darren Jackson today. You stay where you're at. Ryan Rutledge, come on down. Chris Clark, get on up here. Chris, pray for this young man.
So I met Ryan in our addiction, living on the street. And when I came to the Waldo house, Ryan answered the door, gave me hope, and strengthened my faith that the Lord is in the miracle business. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you bless Ryan's baptism, bless our May with family and church. All praises go to you, Lord, and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Jesse Coleman, Joseph Weekly, you're up. We got a picture? Yeah. There's Jesse's mom that passed away last year. Dad, you here? Bring Josiah up here with you. It's Jesse's dad and his son. Going to come up here and pray for him. Hey, tell you, real quick. This is what we mean by you get saved, you get to working, and we turn you around. Jesus turns you around and puts you to work. Joseph was in that baptistry getting baptized just a couple of months ago. And he's up there baptizing his buddy. Pray for him, Dad.
Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for this day, for all these wonderful men getting baptized today, Lord. All praise and glory be to you. All things are possible with you, Father God. It's in your precious son's name we do pray. Amen.
Say go, Daddy.
Huh?
Say go, Daddy.
Huh?
Say go, Daddy.
Go, Daddy.
That's kind of a private thing between the person that's getting baptized and the person that's doing it. A lot of times they'll just speak to each other and ask them, you know, do you believe that Jesus Christ is God? And they'll say yes. And they'll say, then, according to Scripture, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the way that Jesus taught us how to do it. That's the way we tend to do it. If you want to get involved in baptism, if you know of someone that needs to get baptized, if you yourself need to get baptized, we ask just a couple of things. First of all, that you have already made that commitment to Christ. And then seek us out. We've got out in the main hallway, we've got some little blue flyers that talk about our baptism class. Our baptism class is on the second Wednesday of every month. It's 6:30. Myself, my wife, we teach that. Then we will get you set up for baptism. We'll take you through all of the things that involve in baptism. We'll get you ready for that. So if you know somebody, our telephone number, our email is on there. If you want to get involved in this celebration, if you want to help out with this ministry, get a hold of me, get a hold of Sherry, because we could use some help now and then. So is that cool or what? Okay. All right. Thank you.
Jesus gives us good news, right? Yeah, it's good to be here today. And if you're here today and life doesn't feel like it has very much good news, like Jesus is involved. Jesus has control over himself. He has a plan for where everything could go. He has the love and the power to take you to a new place. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray nobody leaves this room without a connection with you, without living out of belief in you. Jesus, help us, none of us, to be content with anything less than a perfect relationship with you. I know that's what you're after. Help us to keep taking steps with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.